jump into the message for this morning. And I'm going to reveal something to you that you may have a, well, no duh, pastor moment, or you may go, okay, I understand it better now. But I'm going to tell you that there is somebody that you know that needs to hear this message. There is somebody you know that needs to hear this message. Now, when I get done with the message this morning, you're going to go, I know this person that needs to hear this message. Because a lot of times you're going to be pointing to yourself that I needed to hear this message, but it also might come to your memory or your heart that somebody else that should have listened to this message. Because this message spreads love, it spreads knowledge, it spreads wisdom, it spreads hope to people. And we are the ones that are tasked sometimes, or a lot of times, right, of being the hands and feet of Jesus. We're tasked to bringing Jesus to other people so they could hear the message that the Lord has for them. And last week I touched upon something which needs more attention. Remember what we talked about last week, right? And it's not the subject of temptation. Although we could hear message upon message upon message about that, where God can grant us more wisdom, so we're able to deal with those a lot better. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about something different. No, this subject is important to life itself. Right? The older I get, I'll put myself in there. The older I get, the more of it I have with me. The more of it tags along with me. It can encompass an increasing amount of time, all right? A person can say it takes up too much time, well, on occasion. Well, we at least give it more time than what it deserves. That's true. That's a true statement there. And we have a tendency to live in this spot, to live here, to revisit it over and over and over again. Sometimes it's to our detriment. Sometimes it's not to our detriment. The moments we spend there are important, right? But they help us to gain valuable insight and skills. Skills we need to navigate in our life. Skills that we need to figure out how we're going to deal with things that are placed before us. The subject I'm alluding to, and some of you have probably already guessed it, this fact, are the situations, the circumstances that we face in life. We all are going to walk through something at some point in time. Nobody has the most perfect life to where you walk outside these walls and things are just, well, they smack you in the face, don't they sometimes? They just really get your attention, right? The challenges that we repeatedly find ourselves wading through, well, quite often, they come as circumstances we face in life's journey, and some of them are of our own doing, but some of them are not. But we still have to face them anyway. It's the events that we remember from, well, time to time. And we especially fixate on the negative events of life, don't we? Don't you fixate on that sometimes, that I remember the negative moments of my life almost easier than I remember the really good ones? We're talking about being on a mountaintop, and nobody can stay on a mountaintop for the rest of their life. You're not going to be there. There are going to be some times that you walk through the valley. And which one do you remember quicker? The mountaintop or the valley? I don't know about the rest of you, but if you're going to be honest, as I'm going to be honest, I'm going to tell you that I remember the valleys a lot more than I remember the mountaintops. It's not the fact that I've been on the mountaintop, but sometimes, or most of the time, the lesson of the valley cements itself deeply within a person. And again, we talked about why that happens is because, well, we don't want to go back there. It's not pleasant. That's why they call it the valley. But we find ourselves there. And this is where we find our hero, Joseph, at the moment. We find him in this moment dealing with another event of life. He's standing over a field of victory. Joseph is. He's standing there over a field of victory, right? He's overcome the temptation that was put before him. In fact, he said he went running from this temptation, right? We're supposed to run. We're supposed to flee from temptation in our life. And he took off, and he took off so fast that he left his cloak behind because somebody else had a hold of it, right? He was being true to God and doing the right thing. Wouldn't you agree? Right? And in being right and fleeing temptation, well, he finds himself being thrust back into another condition that he's going to face. And this condition is not one of his choosing. He didn't choose to be here. Right? And it's inside this victory where we now see the next chapter of Joseph's life unfold. And not everything turns out the way that we want it to. Right? Does everything turn out the way you want it to? It certainly is not turning out probably the way Joseph wants it to. But this is where we're at anyway. And I would have to say that the circumstances here and now are not what Joseph foresaw or wanted. We know what the dream is that he gave, that God gave Joseph, and this is not it. And Joseph, I could probably say with some certainty that he didn't wish he was going to be here. This was not what he was seeing. But here he is anyway. So let's get into what's going on with Joseph right now. And if you have your Bibles with you, I would tell you to open back up to the book of Genesis. We're still in chapter 39, and we're going to be looking and starting around verse 13. So if you're there, turn into your Bibles, Genesis 39, around 13, and we're going to see what's going on with Joseph right now. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to get there. You guys are all probably there because you all know your Bible better than I do, so you flip there, or you got those fancy little, you know, YouVersion things that we put out there. So that's cool. Anyway, all right. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." Now, that's just a right-out lie, isn't it? We know from reading in Scripture, verses before that, that it is just a right-out lie. But she had to do something. She had to do something. Because then she told this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought to us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." See, she had to get to her husband before Joseph got to her husband. She had to concoct a story before Joseph told Potiphar the truth. And this is the story that she concocted. Right? And she goes on, "But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me.' He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison and the Lord was with him, he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did." I look at that and I look at what's going on in Joseph, and there's questions that come to my mind. And one of the first questions that comes to mind is, where's the justice? Where's the justice in all this? You have Joseph, who is above everything, that ran from temptation, that did everything right, but yet he's thrown in prison. Where's the justice in that? You know, we are people of justice, aren't we? We like to see justice done, right? We like to see the right thing happening at the right time. We are big believers in it. In our determination, well, at least in my determination, I look at the story of Joseph, and he overcame and did something good. But he was punished anyway. Not fair. You ever had your kids say "not fair"? All the time, right? Not fair. Something happens in there. Well, that's not fair. Well, I look at this story and I go, well, that's not fair. It's not fair he got punished for this. Somebody told a lie, and all of a sudden somebody else was just punished for it. What a travesty. But it's what happened. And you know that? I always ask myself a question. Well, I don't know if I always ask, but at least other people, I've heard other people ask all the time. It's like, how could God allow this to happen? Anybody ever heard somebody say that? You ever said it yourself? How? God, how could you allow this to happen? I hear it all the time. How can God allow something like this to happen? We ask that question a lot, right? We ask the question, where is God? Where is God in all this? And what's happening? What is God doing? How can a loving God allow these travesties to happen in this world? How can it be allowed? Well, I wonder if Joseph is asking these very words. Again, we know that it's not the dream that he was given, right? He was supposed to be on the mountaintop, but yet we find him in the valley. So I wonder if he's uttered to himself, God, not fair. I did what you told me to do, but yet I'm punished anyway. Why? Why can this happen? How can it happen? He had done what God said was right, but was thrown in prison for it. Well, when we get on further in the story, we're going to see the fact of what's going on here. But it's a hard lesson to learn sometimes, especially when we have to walk through it ourselves. But the plain, simple answer to this is sometimes God uses stepping stones to get us to where we need to be. Sometimes he uses stepping stones to get us to where we need to be. And it's a hard reality that we have of hearing that and then finally realizing that. But once we understand it, it makes it a little bit easier. Now, you notice I said a little bit easier because we still have to walk through the valley, and it's never fun to walk through the valley. But here we find Joseph doing those things, walking through the valley. You know, as I stand up here, I could never imagine myself being anywhere else besides being here today. But it wasn't easy to get here. It wasn't easy, the steps that God had to put me through to get me ready to be here. And you probably, all of you all have probably the same similar stories, that you've walked through something that wasn't easy, but you came here for a reason. You're here in your life right now for a reason, but it wasn't easy to get there. If you've got any years on you all, then you've walked through things. Even our teenagers walk through things nowadays that are much different from when I was a teenager. But God uses those as stepping stones to get us where we need to be. God uses many different experiences to lead us to where he desires us. And most of us have, like I said, similar stories, and we're dealing with diverse issues. You know, I say similar stories because not one of our stories is exactly the same, is it? We all have a different story. We all are dealing with different things that we would not necessarily have to deal with, you know, individually, each and every one of us. But we walk some of the same types of paths. Sometimes we may not be in the same spot in the valley, but we can be in the same regional area of the valley, right? So we can understand what it is to be in the valley and understand what somebody is going through in the valley, diverse issues. Some of you may be in the middle of the valley right now. Some of you might be on the other side of just coming through and starting up, you're ramping up towards the mountaintop again, or maybe you're at the mountaintop again. And if you are, praise God for that. But also praise God for the valley. Some of you might have been delivered from circumstances not too long ago and all of a sudden just find yourself dropped into another one. It's like you're wondering, when is this going to stop? God, when are you going to give me a break? But there's one thing, no matter whether we're at the mountaintop or in the valley, that remains true through all of it. And this is the lesson that Joseph is giving us at this time. I want you to take, if you still got your Bibles open, you've got it open to 39, and you're still in the area, I want you to take a look at verse 21 and read what it says. It says, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison ward. I want you to focus on those first five words. The Lord was with him. Even though Joseph was wallowing through the mud and the muck of being in the valley, the Lord was with him. God never left Joseph's side. Not during the time that he was in and being treated as a favored son, when he was being shown the dream, not the time that his brothers threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery, not the time that he was in the palace being a slave, nor the time that he had overcome temptation only to be thrown back into a situation, dropped into another pit. God never left his side. Always with him. In fact, it's so important for us to know and to remember that he not only said it once, but he said it twice within this span of verses. If you look at verse 23, what does it say? It says, because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, Joseph had an extra bonus where God gave him success in everything he did. You ever had success while you're standing and wallowing in the pit? When you're walking through things? You ever experience success while you're in the valley? When God is with us, and we look at God, and we rely upon God, and we walk with God, no matter where we're at, as long as we're with God, and we're relying on God, you will be successful. Doesn't matter. You can be in the most dire circumstances of your life. But when God is with you and you rely upon him, you will be successful. All of us. Just like Joseph, we can be successful at everything we do. He gave his life to God. He followed God even in the middle of the pit, even in the middle of the palace, even in the middle of the prison. He was following God. He was following. He didn't give in to temptation. He didn't say, God, since you put me here, I'm not going to follow you anymore. I'm going to do it myself. No, he says, because God, you are here with me, I'm going to follow, and I'm not going to disobey you. And in doing that, God says, I'm still going to be with you, and I will give you success in everything you do. Not just some things. He had that big word in there. It's called everything that you do. And that's the way Joseph was. He had success in everything he did. In fact, the prison warden believed in it so much, he says, I'm going to put you in charge of everything. And he didn't have to worry about it. It was like a big vacation for him. Right? Imagine putting somebody in charge of everything and you get to step back and take a vacation. What would that feel like? Well, when you trust God and you're obedient to him, you can experience that. That's the lesson. Close your books. We're done, right? Not yet. We got one more thing. One big thing that we need to examine. And we need to learn about. Because even in the center of Joseph's perilous time, God was with him. And even when we walk in our perilous times, God is with us, right? It reminds me of a story in the Bible. It's a great story. I hope you guys have read it. At least if you haven't read it, you heard it. But it comes out of the book of Daniel. The story comes out of the book of Daniel of relying upon God, right? Daniel and his three friends relied upon God in there, but there's one exceptional story I look at when relying upon God and knowing God is with you wherever you're at. It doesn't matter whether you're mountaintop, you're in the valley, God will be with you. And this story reminds me of what it is to have God with us while we're in the fire. Comes out of the book of Daniel, chapter 3. You can look it up if you want. You can make sure I'm telling you the right thing. But it says this. It says, the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing flame. Now I want you to examine some words in there because we have to understand what this furnace was like. This furnace was not like the furnace that heats your house. This was a kiln, and this kiln wasn't something that was necessarily really small, because it was supposed to heat up bricks, and it was supposed to heat up a multitude of bricks. So it was a great big kiln. A lot of times these kilns were built next to a cliffside. They were built into the cliff, and there was a front entrance on them, but there was also an entrance at the top. And this fire was going. And at this time, if you look in the verses ahead of what we just read, you will find out that Nebuchadnezzar ordered that this furnace be loaded up and blazing 7 times hotter than normal. And these guards took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, led them up the cliffside. And they fell into the furnace. They weren't just pushed in. They fell into the furnace. In fact, the blazes of this furnace was so hot that it said it actually even killed the three, or the guards that took up the three, right? It killed them. That's a hot fire. And these three fell into that fire, into that blazing furnace. But this is what happened. And we go on. So then King Nebuchadnezzar, this is verse 24. Leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "What? Certainly, your majesty." And so Nebuchadnezzar said, he said this, he said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, 4 men, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of God's." 4th looked like the Son of God's. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So they came out, the 3 came out of the fire. And this is the amazing part. I want you to get this one. I want you to hear this one clearly. It said the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the royal advisors crowned all around them. They were all around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. Think about that. Ever sat around a campfire and ever got singed from being too close to that campfire? It doesn't take much, does it? And you back up from that campfire. Don't you usually smell like that campfire? These 3 individuals went down deep in this furnace with the blazing flames all around them. They came out. They were unsinged, unscorched, unharmed. They didn't even smell like the fire. That was God protecting them. That was God standing in that fire with them. That he showed them that they need not be afraid. Now, do you think they were on a mountaintop? Do you think they were in a valley? I'll agree with that. Deep valley. No matter what, God is with us. But we have to be willing to be obedient and to surrender to God. And that's what these 3 did. When we are in the fiery, fiery depths, the blazes of our life, God will be with you. God is in the furnace with him, with us. God is in the furnace with us. All we have to do is look around and see him. All we have to do is be obedient. All we have to do is surrender to him. And we will be protected in our valleys while we walk through a furnace. Nebuchadnezzar saw the God Most High. He believed in the God Most High because he saw what he did. Somebody that did not believe, somebody that erected gold statues of himself to be worshipped as a god, saw the God Most High and believed in him. And when they came out, they were Man, to say they were unharmed seems like a minuscule way of saying it. There was nothing wrong with them. Not even the smell. But how often are we in the middle of that fire and that blaze? Do we come out smelling like smoke? We come out, maybe our clothes are a little bit scorched. Maybe our hair got a little bit singed. Because when we walk through a fire, when we walk in that moment, what do we usually concentrate on? We concentrate on what we're going through instead of who's going through it with us. We concentrate on the moments and the circumstances we are in. We concentrate on the harm and the injustice that we're walking through. When we're asking that question, how can a loving God allow this to happen? How? Where is God during all this? We're blaming God. We're blaming God for being where we're at. Now, does the blame lie at God? That's another big question that we can answer probably some Sundays down the road. But right now, it's just a question. We walk in our circumstances. We wallow upon the fact that we're suffering injustice instead of relying on God and trusting that He will see us through each and every situation that we are in. We need to trust God, and that makes all the difference, right? We need to trust God. It makes all the difference. If you're not going to trust God, you're going to be in there under your own protection, your own power. We need to stop focusing the outcome of what's coming at and we're walking, and we need to focus on the journey that we're having. And not only that journey, but that journey that we're taking with our Lord and our Savior. That's what we need to focus on. That's what's important. Yeah, and somebody said this word, and I'm going to use this word. I hope it doesn't offend you, but sometimes it just sucks. Sometimes it just does not feel good. But we're going to end up there anyway. And you have to decide on whether you want to end up there alone or you want to end up there with somebody that can give you success in everything. That's the big one. But this is a little caveat that goes with it. If you look in Daniel and you're still in there in chapter 3, I want you to go to verse 17 and I want you to read this with me. I want you to read this with me. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. It says, if we are thrown into the burning blaze or the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to deliver us from it. And He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Now catch this one. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. But even if He does not. Too many times we put conditions upon God saying, God, if you'll deliver me from this, then I'll do this. So automatically looking for the fact that God, you're going to do this, and God certainly can do this, but sometimes God has to put us through stepping stones. And those are those, but even if God does not, moments. Because God is getting us prepared for something. He's getting you prepared for something that is, well, He needs you to do for Him. God does not ask you to walk through something without a purpose. He gives you something to walk through because He says, I have a purpose for this, and all we have to do is see this. You can look back upon your lives and figure out, you can probably look back at memories and go, I know why I had to walk through that now. But that wisdom, that idea of that seems to get lost from our memories when we're walking through something new. But even if God does not, because sometimes we need to just realize that we shouldn't give up, that we can't give in. We can't stop going forward. We can't stop being obedient. We can't stop being trusting in God and relying upon Him. We can't stop surrendering to God. Sometimes circumstances do not come out the way we want or even the way that we think they should. But no matter what, God is there. He's there and He protects. But even if He doesn't, you know, most of the time we don't know why we are in the fire. Sometimes we're in the fire so that we can find Jesus. Sometimes we're in the fire so that we can help someone else find Jesus. So all I know and all I rely upon, all I rest myself in is that He's in the fire with me. He's in the fire with me. And if I'm walking through a fire, I'm going to look around. I'm going to see Him. And know that I'm going to come out of this, well, hopefully unharmed, unsinged, unscorched, with not even the smell of smoke on me. But even if He does not, I'll give my life to Jesus and recognize Him as my Lord and Savior. This is the message that I promised you that somebody needed to hear. Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it's for somebody else. Because maybe they're walking through a fire and you need to jump in the fire with them. And you need to give them this message so that they can see Jesus. They can have somebody that comes around and walks with them in the fire. Jesus can be that other person. He can be the third, the fourth, because there should be two others. There should be you, the one walking, and then Jesus can be with you. All right? Let's walk with Jesus, and let's remember that if you're in a fire right now, Jesus is with you. And if you don't want to walk alone, then ask somebody to pray with you. Somebody will walk with you, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're the hands and feet of Jesus.